Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is good to be with you this Monday, February 3rd. We're kicking off a new week here on Faith and Family, starting a new commandment. This week, we start the seventh commandment. And the seventh commandment, you remember it? You shall not steal. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions and income. Well, what does that mean for us in our daily lives? How do we help our neighbor protect his possessions and income and improve them? Well, we've got a lineup of guests this week to help us think about that and talk about that and share some stories from their own lives and their own experience. So we'll get to that in just a little bit. We're going to talk with Pastor Barry Akers from Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer in Kokomo, Indiana. He works greatly with Servant Events and has done so for quite some time. So we'll get to talk with him in just a second about Servant Events. You want to know what those are? Well, you got to stick around and find out. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org. Look for the sponsor section and that CUW logo in the sponsor section. Click on it, and that'll take you to their page. You can find out about the programs they have to offer, where they're located. Go check it out, kfuo.org, and look for that sponsor section. If you have a question today for our guests, you can join the conversation. Give us a call at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email your questions to family@kfuo.org. We'd be glad to take your questions during the program today as well. Well, joining us by phone today is Pastor Barry Akers. He's Associate Pastor at Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer in Kokomo, Indiana. Good morning, Pastor Akers.
Good morning, Andy.
It's good to have you with us today. How are things going for you at Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer?
Well, it's kind of cold and chilly, just like it is in St. Louis, I imagine.
Yeah, it's not too bad, about 20. So it's a heat wave here.
Oh yeah. I think we're probably pretty close to the same temperature. I think we're in the 20s as well.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background. You have been involved with LCMS Servant Events for quite some time, haven't you?
Yes, I guess started when it came to Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer in December of 1999. Prior to that point, I had done some mission trips, but never had been involved in servant events, and our church here was heavily involved. I came in as our family life pastor, and one of my responsibilities was going on servant events with our kids, and so I attended my first event at Heights Point in Lincoln, Missouri. Would have been the summer of 2000, began hosting our own servant event here at Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer that same summer, and we're gearing up for servant event number 10 this summer.
What are servant events? I mean, if I hear that name, it sounds like it's an event where a bunch of servants get together.
Well, that's kind of right. In terms of, through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we kind of categorize them in seven different categories based on what happens at the event. We have construction events, which, as you might expect, maybe it's helping to build new homes or repairing structures, maintaining existing facilities, things of the like. There's also human care events where you're working maybe with people in a VBS setting. Maybe you're working with the elderly, the disabled. There's environmental events where you're doing some cleaning, some recycling, litter removal, cleaning streams, refurbishing parks and trails, those kind of events. Outreach events, where you're reaching out to communities. Maybe you're doing a sports camp or a Bible camp for neighborhood children. There's multicultural events where you have an opportunity to work with the different ethnic groups. Crisis events where you're kind of responding maybe to a natural disaster. And then there's family events where you go with your family and serve in some area of ministry. It's a gathering together of individuals primarily to serve, as we said, in those different areas, but that's really only a small part of the week. Typically, there are week-long events. There's worship, there's Bible study, there's devotions, there's fellowship, obviously, food, lodging, all those things happening throughout that week.
So there's a lot packed in. Some of them might be close to home. Some of them might be on, you know, another place in the country, or maybe even some international opportunities.
That's correct.
All of them are geared towards serving others, helping others in their needs, as you listed a variety of different ways: construction, human care, outreach, environmental, multicultural crisis, or even bringing the whole family. So it's not limited to just youth, correct?
Correct. That's primarily the focus, mm-hmm. and we kind of operate as a board or committee under the youth ministry arm of our synod, but that it is not limited to young people.
How long have servant events been a part of the LCMS? Do you know?
I know it's been more than 30 years.
Wow.
I want to say it's been about 31 years, something like that. So we've been having events for
quite a while.
Generation.
Yeah. Well, what are you mentioned? You first got started with servant events with an event at Heights Point Camp here in Missouri, out in Cole Camp. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about that event and what it entailed.
Okay. We stayed at the camp, which was kind of a fun setting for our youth. And most of the week was spent helping with improvements at the camp, working on trails. I think it was an obstacle course that we were helping to renovate and rebuild. But then a couple of the afternoons, we went out to local nursing homes and interacted with the residents there. We would sing some songs that we had learned at camp with them, and then would just have time to share and talk with them and maybe play checkers or, you know, different activities like that. So it was kind of a mix, if you will, an environmental servant event in the mornings, and then in the afternoons we were doing more human care.
So they're not always limited to just one type of event. They could really include a couple of aspects.
Yeah, it really just depends on the host site, mm-hmm. you know, what they have available that needs to be done. You know, oftentimes our camps can use, you know, some extra help with facilities or different things like that. I've been to Camp Pioneer out near Buffalo, New York, many, many times, mm-hmm. and we used to do work in the community on people's homes, but then as we got done with those tasks and needed more to do, then we'd move to the camp and help out there as well.
And they are hosting events again this year. So
several events.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they have historically had a lot of family camp family.
Servant
events.
They were one of the I think the first ones. Mm-hmm. to host a family event for at least through the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod servant events.
Absolutely.
That continues to happen every year. They have at least one. And that typically, I've never gone to that one, but I think typically it tends to be working on the camp site. Mm-hmm. That way there's things for the younger kids as well as the seniors to do.
When do most servant events take place?
Most are going to happen during the summer, because they tend to be weather sensitive,
mm-hmm.
But there are some that run year round. Ysleta, which is down in El Paso, Texas, and they go into Mexico and do some work down there. They typically run all year round. I can't think of any others offhand that would run throughout the year, but I'm sure there's some.
Sure. So most of them are during the summer, and that would make sense. That's when many youth are available. You know, mm-hmm. many of them are off school for the summer, and so they could have more time dedicated to attend these events.
Yes.
And what ages of youth can attend LCMS servant events?
Okay. Again, you know, the family events are going to be for the, you know, infants, I guess, could go. You know,
sure, the whole family.
Mom and dad. Mm-hmm. But typically the ones that are maybe geared more towards youth or servants, they'll have a list. We have a list on our website through the synod, and I can give that out mm-hmm. a little bit later.
Sure.
But you can go by categories, and one of the categories you can search events by is age level. But typically it tends to be the majority of events are going to be geared towards junior high, senior high, and college age,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of the youth. So you can,
And that's really related to the type of project that you're doing. If you're going to be doing a construction project, then you certainly want older youth who can handle construction equipment, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Our event that we host at our church is construction based, and we set a minimum age they need to have completed eighth grade, and part of that is just because of the nature of the construction things we're doing. There's some heavy stuff that needs to be done, and you want the kids to be a little bit better able to handle that.
Certainly. Now, with projects like this, you know, if you're doing construction or just going to a different place, there's always some sort of liability. How do you prepare for that, and how do you make sure that these events are safe?
It's we offer training every November. Our committee, our servant event committee, offers training in November in the St. Louis area for all servant event leaders. And some of the things we cover in there are liability issues and the like. We also help them with, you know, there's certain insurance things that need to be covered as well. Mm-hmm. And kind of really want to stress that, you know, you have to be careful, especially when you're working, you know, with power tools or, you know, kids are up on ladders or things like that. So there's certainly a good deal of prior planning ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we do in case there would be a unfortunate incident, we have release forms for medical procedures and the like. And at our particular event, we make copies of those release forms, and they come with their youth leader, mm-hmm. and their youth leader keeps a copy. And then whatever work site they happen to be on, that work site leader has a copy of their release forms, and then their host families would as well. And so if something unforeseen would happen, where someone would require medical attention, we've got that information that we will need to get them taken care of.
Sure, it's readily available.
Now, I should mention, we've done nine years of servant events. We've only had to take a servant to the hospital once, and now I'm probably just cursing myself that next year it'll change. But it was for I believe it was an appendectomy.
Oh, so it wasn't even related to the project.
No, it wasn't. And thankfully, her father was one of the adult counselors, and he was staying at another place, and we just called him, and he was able to meet her at the hospital. That girl, it happened the night she arrived. She refused to go home. She wanted to stay and help with the event, and so we put her in the kitchen where she could do some helping there and was able to stay with her youth for the whole week.
Wow. That was dedication.
It is.
Well, you bring up another point. You mentioned staying with host families. I'm sure when traveling for these servant events that youth and their leaders aren't staying at nice fancy hotels. How do you handle accommodations for servant events like this?
Okay, it varies from host to host. When you're staying at a camp like Heights Point or Pioneer Camp, we've stayed in the cabins there, mm-hmm. and it works out very well. You know, your meals are covered through the dining hall and the like. Congregations do it a little bit differently. Some congregations will take their servant event people to a camp and use that as their host. Others will provide bedding and like there at the church. And they may have to make some accommodations for showers and the like, but they'll mm-hmm. have, you know, rollaway cots and different things. Our particular congregation, we have the members of our church serve as hosts. And that way the kids get to go to a home where we know they're going to have a comfortable bed, they're going to have air conditioning, they're going to be able to get a hot shower, and all those things will be taken care of. And it also allows our congregational members to take more of an ownership in the event. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they can't serve on a work site. Maybe they can't take off from work for that week mm-hmm. and participate in any other way, but they can host some young people at their house and, you know, feed them breakfast in the morning and get them back to the church in the morning. So, it just varies in terms of housing, what is available.
Sure, and
at each event.
And it gives the members of the congregation an opportunity to get to know them to fellowship. And I'm sure it's encouraging to be able to meet and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ from around our church body, from around the country, and I think that that alone is an encouraging part of servant events, just getting to meet other people from our church body. And
oh, it is. It's in our kids. We take off the, our servant event doesn't meet on the years that there's a national youth gathering. And this past summer, there was the national youth gathering in San Antonio. And our kids just love getting together with the kids they had met at our servant events. Mm-hmm. You know, well, there's the group from Minnesota. There's the one from Kansas City. And they would arrange to get together with them throughout the week. And it helps our youth to realize, hey, I'm not in this alone. There's others like me, mm-hmm. you know, throughout the country.
Sure. And I'm thinking even for the host families, for the, you know, those who the adults who are getting to know these youth, it's mm-hmm. it's an encouragement to them as well.
And they tend to keep in touch, whether it's, you know, through the social media stuff mm-hmm. that's out there, or, you know, cards and letters, and it's, you know, it's cute. I'm friends with a lot of the kids that have come to our events over the years on Facebook, and to see the pictures they'll post a year later. Here's me with my best buddy, and it's one of the adults that they work with on a work site, you know, or, you know, different activities like that. And so just the relationships that are made between, in our case, the members of our congregation and the youth from all over is just wonderful to watch.
Certainly. We've talked a little bit about the accommodations, and obviously if they're coming from long distance, they've got to arrange for travel. But let's talk a little bit about the typical daily schedule. I know that each servant event is different and unique depending on what the mm-hmm. projects are that they're working on. But what does a typical schedule look like for a week-long servant event?
Okay, I'll share with you my schedule mm-hmm. that we do, and certainly there are variances to that. We begin on a Sunday afternoon, our event, and it runs through Saturday. We're done before lunch. So the youth arrive sometime Sunday afternoon, and we have some sort of orientation and some fellowship, kind of get to know each other, kind of building community type events with the youth. The adults oftentimes are pulled into adult meetings. Hey, this is what we're going to be doing this week. Again, we do construction, so they're talking about the activities. And then we really kick things off with a worship service that Sunday evening, and we invite, you know, obviously all the servant event, or the servants and their leaders and participants are invited, but we invite our whole church to come and be a part of the worship service. It's just a big celebration, and that goes well into I guess we do a supper in there too. You got to feed everybody too. But then after that, they go home with their host families. They meet their host families, go home for the night, and then for the remainder of the week, they come in, and we meet about 7:30 in the morning up at the church. And so the participants will come into the gym, and the first thing they do is they pack their lunch. And so our ladies will have, you know, bread and different lunch meats and different chips and vegetables and fruit and got to have cookies too. and you know, different drinks, water, Gatorade. We make them take at least one water and one Gatorade, I think, before they can take all the soda that they want. But and so they pack their lunch, and then we have a time where we all gather together and do a little devotion. We have, as a servant event committee, we come up with Bible studies for the summer. And we also have devotions and kind of a theme for the week. And so we use that, kind of get everybody going. We send everybody to their work sites. They go off, and maybe we have seven different places where people are going. And they work through lunch into the early afternoon. Then they come back to the church about, let's say, 3 o'clock-ish, wash up a little bit. Then we have little bit of fellowship as we're gathering together. Hey, what'd you do today? Kind of stuff, recap, so people could learn what happened on different sites. Do a Bible study as a group. Have some downtime with groups. Dinner, and then we do some sort of fun activity in the evening. Maybe we go to the community pool. Maybe we do some sort of scavenger hunt throughout the community, or just different events. And then it just starts up again. The next day goes all the way through until Friday. We do it a little bit differently. That's our big closing service in the evening. So we quit before lunch at the work sites, get back for a lunch at the church, come back in the evening for dinner. Again, we invite homeowners and different people from the community to come to that event as well. We have a celebration communion service in the church. And then the next morning we get together again for breakfast, and the kids do some skits and, you know, talk about what they did that week. And then there we send them off by 10:30, 11 and on Saturday morning.
Well, that's a full week, and I'm sure by the end of the week they're all pretty tired because they've been working hard all week.
I don't know if they're tired, but I'm exhausted. I just always hope that I'm not preaching that weekend because I am worn out by the time they go. No, they are, and then they, you know, then they have their drive back home, however far that might be.
Right. I know with my experience with servant events during the summer that no matter where you're staying, you know, if you're sleeping on cots or if you're sleeping in a real bed, by the end of the day, you're so tired, it doesn't really matter. You fall asleep wherever you are.
You're absolutely right.
Many of the servant events that I've been on, it's a lot of work throughout the day. You're up early and starting your day and exposed to heat or rain or what have you. You're out in the elements and usually
physical
working.
Physical exertion, or maybe you're working with kids.
Right.
You know, doing a VBS, and that wears you out, too. It's not just swinging the hammer that tires you out.
Right, yeah. Especially working with lots of little ones. That can be exhausting, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always I think at the end of the day, it feels good to feel like you've accomplished something, you've worked, you've done something, and then you just, after devotions, fall asleep.
Yeah.
Even if you have a pillow or not.
Yeah. Hopefully everybody has a pillow.
Yes. What are some of the servant events that you've been on? What are some of the stories from that? What are some of the most challenging ones that you've done, and what are some of the fond memories that you've had? We've got just a couple of minutes before we go to break, about 2 minutes before we go to break.
One that is, you think, when you said challenge, the first thing that came to mind, we were doing Vacation Bible School in Buffalo with Camp Pioneer, and we did the VBS was over. We were doing a cookout for the community, hot dogs and the like, and two of the boys got into a fight, and they were bigger guys. And I remember they were, you know, maybe seventh, eighth grade, and trying to get the two of them apart. They weren't members they were kids from the community, mm-hmm. that had showed up for VBS all week and just had been on each other, and it just came to a head. And fortunately, there was a member of the church there, and this lady gave it and just started yelling at these boys, and you know, it was taken care of quickly, but I remember thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to do now? You know, as I barely had the strength to pull the two apart. Hmm. But I can't leave you with that. Probably the most special for me personally was this past year. I was helping out at a house, a woman named Mary. Mary was in a wheelchair, been in a wheelchair for most of her life. She's, I guess I'd say, in her 60s. Could not get out of her house. It was five steps down, and so she would get out of her house twice a year when her daughter would have to take her to the doctor.
Hmm.
And we built a wheelchair ramp for her. And the look on Mary's face as she wheeled out that very first time, and just the joy, it almost tears me up just thinking about the look on her face. And then the next day, we came by, and there she comes. She's coming out by herself and going to visit with a neighbor that she hasn't had a chance to talk to for 5 years because she's been stuck in her house. And just the
wow,
to know that you made that kind of difference in someone's life is humbling, very humbling.
Something as simple as building a ramp in a matter of a day or a couple of days,
mm-hmm.
to open up, literally open up a door,
mm-hmm.
for a resident in a community. Wow.
Could feel a part of it again, you know, and just be a part of her neighborhood. We hadn't even quite finished it, you know, the railings weren't all up and, you know, stuff like that, but boy, she was just so excited.
And to do that all in the name of Jesus, all in the name of Christ crucified, to do something for that neighbor, and as a representative of a local congregation or organization, mm-hmm. to bring that helping hand and also the good news of Jesus to her.
And that's, we begin every work site every morning with prayer, and we always invite the homeowner to join us. And so in Mary's case, you know, she would wheel out onto her little porch, and we'd all hold hands in a big circle around and take turns having a prayer each morning, you know, praying for safety and the like as we began. And so there's that witness is already there right at the beginning. And, of course, all these individuals we invite to church, and we have some follow-up with them through the members of our congregation and our outreach board. So it's just a neat opportunity.
Very good. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation. We're talking with Pastor Barry Akers from Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer in Kokomo, Indiana, discussing Lutheran Church Missouri Synod servant events. And if you have a question or want to call with a comment or about servant events today, you can give us a call or an email. The number is 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us at family@kfuo.org. We'll continue the conversation right after this. Stick around.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I recently braved bitter cold temperatures to join over 100,000 pro-life friends at the annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. It seemed more than ever people were asking why the mainstream media all but ignore this colossal event. Let me tell you why. Each year the crowd marches during the worst wintertime weather D.C. has to offer. An easy 80% are young, vibrant, passionate, vocal, upbeat, and determined. Normally, it'd be a reporter's visual dream, that is, unless the multitude is pro-life. The day of the march, a chill went up the spines of media elites everywhere, and it wasn't because of the cold. The march was a visual declaration. The pro-life movement is getting younger, stronger, and more effective. They know the days of abortion on demand are numbered.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
With Pastor Smith on the Next Law and Gospel, we will be discussing the LNG implications of the hymn for the fifth Sunday of Epiphany, Thy Strong Word Did Cleave the Darkness. You will hear that this hymn was written by a professor we had at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, and we will also talk about his primary goal in writing the text.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
What do I cherish? Precious moments watching Dad read to my little Eric. That's why I'm so grateful I insisted on an eye exam when I noticed him struggling with the words on the page. We found out Dad has age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Luckily, the doctor caught it in time for treatment, so Dad can still read. Protect yourself and your loved ones. Call the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-254-6552 for a free packet on preventing and managing AMD. That's 1-800-254-6552.
Have you ever thought about becoming a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor? There are plenty of reasons to do so. Perhaps a birthday, an anniversary, celebration of a baptism, confirmation, graduation, any event. It's easy. Just call Mary or Joni at 1-800-844-0524. That's 800-844-0524 and become a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor today.
The president of the Creation Museum is looking forward to his debate tomorrow evening with Bill Nye, the science guy.
The question is creation a viable model of origins in today's scientific era?
Ken Ham and his museum, which is hosting the debate, adhere to a literal interpretation of the Bible's book of Genesis, that God created the universe, Adam and Eve, and everything else in 6 days, and did so thousands rather than billions of years ago. Nye has maintained that unguided evolution as the only scientific view, and that teaching the biblical view of creation hurts children and the nation's future. Ham insists the Bible's teaching is scientifically defensible, but adds,
"There's much more at stake than just talking about technology. It's talking about who we are, where we came from, why we're here, what our future is going to be, our morality, our worldview, the purpose and meaning of life."
Nye is scheduled to speak tonight at Murray State University. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you this Monday, February 3rd, as we are talking about LCMS servant events today with the Pastor Barry Akers from Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer in Kokomo, Indiana. And before we went to break, Pastor, we were talking about some of your great stories and invited listeners to join us. Let's go to the phone lines now. We've got Bill here in Peavely, Missouri. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
Good. Good to hear from you. What do you have to share with us about servant events?
Well, it's taken me a while to kind of shave this down a little bit, but the one thing I want to say is, Andy, you do remember our servant events at Zion and our Ambassadors for Christ events, and from there it evolved into Thrive In Humanity events and events in New Orleans and all sorts of these things. And the people that benefit are definitely blessed by God through the servants. But the servants are so much blessed also, and till you've received that blessing, I don't know how you can live your life without that blessing. It's just one of the greatest things, one of the gifts that God gives us. So it's just, I don't know, it's eye-opening, and it never stops giving. Hosting is another thing that is so wonderful. So I just would like to encourage folks out there, if you haven't been involved one way or another, to do that at least one time in your life, and then rejoice.
There's joy in the opportunity to serve, whether it be a servant in going out and doing these projects or hosting. There's joy in all that. Thanks for pointing that out, Bill.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Have a great day.
You too.
The comment reminded me of a friend of mine, Hugh, was serving as a leader for our servant event, working on a garage door and installing a garage door. And if you know, if you ever tried to install a garage door, it's near impossible if you don't have the right tools and you don't know exactly what you're doing. And he was getting very frustrated and he just couldn't get it figured out. His wife happened to be at the local hardware store and was getting some more supplies for the servants. And you know how you get talking, "Oh, our church is hosting this event," and so on. And she mentioned to the cashier how her husband was having issues with the garage door. Well, there was a garage door installer in line behind her. And he said, "Where is this at? What is going on?" And he shows up at the house, you know, fixes the garage door with his special tools. And you know, you can't tell me that the Lord isn't at work hearing the prayers of his servants. And you know, what a blessing for Hugh, for all of us to be built up to know, hey, God cares about what you're doing here, and he's going to provide what's necessary to accomplish it.
And wow, what a neat connection with someone else in the community there to have the opportunity to talk with them and to partner with them to provide this service for someone else in the community.
Yeah, and they would have never known.
Yeah.
It just so happened they were in line behind Hugh's wife, Cindy, and heard this neat story and wanted to help.
How neat. Well, you shared, you know, some of the challenging and some of the also the joys. Any other stories from servant events that you've been involved with, Pastor Akers, that you want to share?
There was one more that kind of came to mind that I was thinking of, and it was in Buffalo, New York. We would partner up with Camp Pioneer and host the servant event in an inner city church, and this was a storefront church. Lots of shootings in that area, a lot of violence, and we would do VBS in the morning and then do some canvassing in the afternoon, inviting kids to join us for VBS. And it was I didn't happen to be on this event, but my kids were there, and they're coming down this street near the church, and they're knocking on doors, giving out flyers, and the four children who lived in this house recognized our youth, who were there from the year before in VBS, and come running out of the house. And these are like early elementary age kids come running out to hug our I think this particular boy was like eighth grade, you know, had helped the year before, and just give him the biggest hug. And, you know, we want to come to VBS. And so every morning my youth would go to that house and pick up those kids, and they'd ride on their shoulders, you know, the couple blocks over to the church so they could enjoy Vacation Bible School and hear more about Jesus. And what a neat experience for Lucas, the young man, from our church, and then for those kids to have made that relationship with an older youth that, you know, that they perceived to being cool, you know, and to have that opportunity to hear about Jesus.
Wow. Well, and you mentioned earlier that prayer and devotions and Bible study are part of the sermon events as well. You know, for those that for the sermon events that are Vacation Bible School, yes, you're spending plenty of time, you know, teaching about Jesus. How does the gospel fit into? How is it a part of LCMS sermon events? The other ones, you know, that are more construction oriented or that are more environmental oriented.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. And really, you know, it's so easy when you go on a servant event to get focused on whatever the task is that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we got to build this wheelchair ramp, or we got to paint this house, or we got to do these things. And we can't lose sight of the real reason that we're there is, you know, Seventh Commandment related, but you know, growing also in our relationship with the Lord. And so we need to make that a priority. And so, for like I mentioned before, for our events, we really stress every morning we're going to have a devotion, and we're going to have a time of prayer where we're putting this day before the Lord. But for our particular church, the spiritual emphasis really begins well before the kids even show up. You know, it's the team of youth leaders working together in the planning process, praying that we can have the right sites that we need to be working on, praying that the Lord would provide the number of people that we need to host or to the financial contributions and the like. And so we come in with that mindset as a leadership team, and then now it's our job to share that vision with the young people and their counselors, and that means we're going to be spending time. Each day, we're going to spend time in devotions. We're going to spend time each afternoon studying God's Word. We're going to have worship services. We're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper. Like I mentioned before, the prayer time at the beginning of our workday on the site with the homeowners. You know, they're not required to come out, but I can't think of a single homeowner that we've helped over the last 9 years who hasn't said, "Yeah, I'll come out and pray with you guys." And then the emphasis that makes to the neighbors who see this group of young people not only working hard, but what are they doing in that circle over there? And they come over and they ask the kids, you know, why would you give up a week of your summer to do this? It's hot out. and then we like to use our local radio station. We buy some airtime and we have them come out to each site over a two-day period, and they interview each and every kid on the site, and they'll ask them questions like, why are you here? And, you know, what brings you here? And we try to get our newspaper involved as well and get those faith stories out there of, you know, it isn't just kids doing good deeds, which is newsworthy, but why? Why are they doing this? And so to have an opportunity to do that on our you know, secular radio station or in our newspaper or to the postman who's coming by and, you know, hey, what's going on here? And just to have the kids ready to share that faith story.
For the youth who are traveling across the country or maybe just a few hours away, someone might say, "Well, why do we have to go, you know, a couple hours away? Why do we need to go the other side of the country to help with a project like that? We've got plenty right here in our community that needs to be done. Why? What are the benefits of traveling somewhere together to go do a service project or a sermon event together?" And I know there are a list of ideas of things that you can do throughout the year,
right.
And we'll get to that in just a little bit. But what are some of the benefits that you've seen for taking a group to a sermon event outside of their own community?
It really, first of all, it pulls all of you, the adults and the youth, out of your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not a, it really requires a commitment. If you're hosting, we've had more issues when we hosted here with our kids. You know, I've got a doctor's appointment. I've got a, you know, sports practice that I got to go to, you know, whatever it is, all the distractions. You remove those distractions by going somewhere else. Maybe it's only an hour away or whatever. And you build a community among your own youth, you know, with each other. You're more vulnerable, I guess, to the working of the spirit, and just that seeing how, you know, there's Christians other places than just the ones that I normally come into contact with, maybe at my school or at my church or in my community. You know, that there's Christians all over this world, and just to gather together with those other brothers and sisters in Christ, and to unite for a common purpose, whether it's leading a VBS, whether it's you know, helping build a wheelchair ramp, or you know, whatever it is, that there's just that sense of community that takes place. And like I said, there's just that removal of all the distractions. And what we hope when we host youth at our servant event is our hope and prayer is that eventually those people go back home and they continue the event, you know, at their own church, helping out that same idea of service and ministry. And maybe you're just getting some ideas and learning from, maybe you've heard time and time again, your parents, your pastor, your DCE, whoever has been telling you, you know, you need to get out there and do this and to take that week to actually do it. Hey, wow, I can. You know, maybe I can do this at my school. Maybe I can do this at my home. So I think it's just a change in attitude take place.
I agree. Taking the time, setting aside a week or so and traveling, I think it needs to be over an hour away in order for us to really make a commitment to do something, to stick to it, because of those very distractions. And we call them distractions. And while they may not necessarily be bad things, they might all be good things that we have going on at home, you know, jobs or boyfriend, girlfriend, sports, other extracurricular activities that we might have going on.
Job even.
Right. All of those things that we might have at home. If we don't designate a week that we're going to commit to, or a set time that we're going to commit to, we're very easily distracted from the actual sermon event. And so we don't really, we're not as focused on it and don't learn a lot throughout the process, and maybe not wholeheartedly committed to completing the project either. And can easily be pulled away from it with all those regular daily distractions that we have, those regular daily things that we do that can very easily be distractions during a week like that. So I think if you go over an hour away, because an hour away is still close enough for somebody to, you know, to run out with a van, take them back to soccer practice and practice, play their game or whatever, and then go back trying to, you know, fit it all in. But really, I think we need to step aside from our regular things once in a while. I'm not saying this is something we have to do all the time, but to take that time to step aside from what we do regularly in order to commit to a full project, in order to complete it and learn what we can during that time.
Yeah, and you're learning from other people, new people that you would have never had the opportunity to meet before.
Certainly. To learn and to fellowship. You mentioned that you have Bible study, you have prayer during this time as well. The combination of working hard and spending time in God's Word, you know, when we work, we work, when we play, and when we worship, and having that time to study God's Word, to hear His Word together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, the same people that we're working alongside with in these projects, whether it's a human care project or a construction project or whatever it might be, to be able to study God's Word with them so that we can talk about it as we're working. You know, if you're raking leaves or painting a wall or building a house or running a vacation Bible school, you're able to talk about what you've studied in the scriptures throughout the rest of your day, right?
And apply it. We're living this out right now. You know, whatever you do, do it to the glory of the Lord. And that's really what's happening. And we'll kind of, depending on the different Bible studies or themes that we have for the weeks, there'll be some things to consider while you're serving. You know, while you're out there on the workforce, if you will, doing whatever it is, here's some things to be thinking about, or here's a challenge for you. Yeah, we've used sending cloths before, you know, like strips of cloth that we'll give to the kids, and we want you to, you know, to give this to somebody that you see, you know, is inspiring you in whatever way. And just the number of times that those are given to not the other servants, but, you know, maybe it's a homeowner, maybe it's the homeowner's family has come, and they see you out there helping their loved one, and they want to help too. And so they show up, and sometimes they're teenagers or, you know, young adults or whatever. And so the opportunity and the challenge is to, you know, be a faithful witness to everybody you come into contact with on that site.
Hmm. Absolutely. Well, we mentioned a little bit ago that while traveling, raises some questions of, you know, what can we, you know, we have needs in our own community. What can we do mm-hmm. to help in our own community? After you experience one of these, I think it helps you be more in tune with what is needed in your own community and ask those questions. What can I do right here in our own community? And on the LCMS Servant Event web pages, you can mm-hmm. find some of those ideas. And we'll point people to that website today, lcms.org/servant events. We'll take you to the Servant Event website on the LCMS website. Mm-hmm. And you can find out more about a number of things. One of those is under resources, and that is a year of servanting ideas.
Right.
It takes a January through December, a bunch of ideas of things that you can do right in your own community.
And it is, because, you know, the last thing we want is people to think, I did my week of service, I'm done, till next year. You know, no, that's our life as Christians. You know, we're continually wanting to be of service to the Lord and His church. Our you know, theme verse is 2 Corinthians 9:12, and that's on our homepage of the website there, and it says, this service you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. You know, and that needs to happen year-round.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with our kids going on servant events, and this is my own congregation, is they got to the point where they said, hey, we can do this. Or we want these blessings. We see the blessings it's being to the congregations that are hosting or the organizations hosting. We want that. And so we decided to start having servant events. And what also happened is as our kids would come home from servant events, we'd provide them with an opportunity to share with our congregation, usually in a Bible study setting, what happened this week? You know, what did you do? What did you learn? How did it go? And our people started getting excited, and they wanted to go on servant events. And so we do a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot, but we do some mission trips as well. We've mm-hmm. gone to, you know, the adults in our congregation have gone to places like to Africa, to Central America, South America. One group went to Siberia and helped refurbish a church. It was, our adults said, hey, this looks like fun. We want to serve God too. What can we do? And so it's just neat how a child shall lead them. You know, it's kind of what happened. It started with our junior high kids going on some servant events, and then it, you know, as they got a little bit older, they wanted to continue going on those. And we take mission trips. We have a group of high schoolers that go to an orphanage in Mexico every spring break. It's not through LCMS servant events, but that's just something that it kind of grew into for our youth. We've had the college kids go there because they're like, well, we still want to keep going. And like I said, we've done eyeglass clinics, and I went to Sierra Leone, West Africa several years ago and did eyeglass clinics with a group from most ministries. And it's just neat to see how the Lord opened other doors and inspired people to want to serve in new and different ways.
Well, the servant events that are listed for this year are really all over the country. There are several different regions. There's Great Lakes, Southwest, Northwest, Southeast, New England, Upper Midwest, and Midwest. So that it really covers all of the United States in terms of servant events, and quite a few during the summer. There are some other times of year as well. And mm-hmm. and you're hosting one again this summer. Is that correct?
Yes, we are. We've filled up. We're going to have the most number of kids that we've ever had before. Our event is called Mission Possible. It started back in 2000. You got to think, you know, Mission Impossible with Tom Cruise was kind of big back then. And we said, well, we're going to be Mission Possible. And we made it Mission Possible Roman numeral 1, and now we're ready for Roman numeral 10.
Wow.
And previously, the largest group of kids we've had off-site come has been around 70. This year, we're going to have 100, plus our own youth from our own church coming. And so we've never had to close our event this early before in January, but we're just full. We have some returnee groups coming. We also have groups that have never gone on an event before that are coming to our church. So we're really excited about it, and we're a little nervous. We've never done it this big before. And so that, you know, the issues with housing is the biggest one, but also, you know, meals and buying materials, and how are we going to find enough work sites? Well, the Lord keeps providing for that. In November, Kokomo had a tornado come through, actually several of them, and so we've got a lot of work that we can, that will still need to be done this summer for that. And we figure, okay, God, you've got a plan. We're just going to step out in faith, and we'll see how it goes.
And what a neat way to approach that. I know one of the servant events that I went on with some youth several years ago, we had this project all lined up and got there, and much of the work had already been done by someone else. And talk about it, you know, it was disheartening at first, thinking, well, we traveled all this way to do this work, to clean up in this park and to do this other work. And so, you know, certainly we prayed about it on that first night there when we found right. out that, you know, much of the work had already been done. Now what do? We're here.
Yeah, okay, Lord, what do you want?
And it turns out there was still a great need in the community. They lined up some opportunities, working with local organizations, lined up opportunities for us to help out more families and homes and residents in the community than just doing the work in the local park. So it actually ended up giving us more of an opportunity to connect with the community and to serve them and talk with more people than we would have if we would have just probably been working in the park. So thanks mm-hmm. be to God and the hand of providence, how he worked out those things.
He knew.
Exactly.
You know, that was his plan all along for you.
Right.
You know? And that's the exciting thing, is we think we got the plan, but God knows. And he provides.
One of the ways that we approached it, one of the congregations that I served in, we did kind of a surprise servant event. The students knew that they planned on attending a servant event at Camp Luther Haven in Albion, Indiana.
Okay.
It was a traveling servant event that went from camp out somewhere else. So they knew that we would fly to Indiana, go to Camp Luther Haven, but they didn't know the destination mm-hmm. that we were going to. So it was always kind of a surprise, servants by surprise. And that was really fun. We ended up in some really neat places helping out a variety of people. And doing that, the parents always knew. The parents always received an envelope, a sealed envelope, as we were departing for Camp Luther Haven, so they could know the location we were going to, but the students didn't know. And that was always pretty fun.
Yeah, that sounds exciting.
Well, I want to point folks to the website again. So if you're interested in a servant event this summer, you can check it out, lcms.org/servant-events. And if you check it out, there's a whole list of servant events that are available for the summer and a few others throughout the year. Go check it out. There are quite a few that still have openings all over the country, several at camps, some hosted by congregations, some human care, some construction, some family events, just a wide variety of events that are available. So go check it out, lcms.org/servant-events. And you can also find resources there if you're interested in hosting a servant event. Start planning a year in advance, wouldn't you say?
Yes, certainly. And again, we'll be doing some training again this November. And if you, via that website, you can contact us and we'll invite you to our next training workshop in November.
Very good. So go check it out. Find out about a servant event this year and go experience one this summer. Maybe host one next year as well. Thanks so much, Pastor Akers, for taking the time to talk with us today about servant events. We really appreciate you giving us some time to talk about it and help us see how we can serve our neighbor in a variety of ways.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Andy. I enjoyed it.
God's blessings to you
right.
and your
you
servant
too.
Events and the folks at Lutheran Church of the Redeemer.
All right. Thank you so much.
Take care. Coming up on the next Faith and Family, we'll continue our conversations on the Seventh Commandment. We'll continue talking with friends and experts. We'll talk with some small business owners about how caring for them, how their neighbors caring for them makes a difference in caring in their dream coming to reality as a small business owner. We'll also take a look at a preview of the February Lutheran Witness. Stick around for Moments of Assurance up next on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.